Our first reading on this Easter Sunday is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realise how true it is that God does not show favouritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Last week, as we thought about the position of the crowd on Palm Sunday and their incorrect assumptions about Jesus and how he would show his power, I talked about how sometimes we think that we have a supernatural protection from all ills, when that is not what we've been promised. Instead, we're promised peace and hope in all circumstances, and a future eternity with no suffering. That is a big part of what we're celebrating today on this Easter Sunday. Easter is about the hope we find through the death and resurrection of Jesus, so that sin and the world's brokenness doesn't wear us down in this life, or indeed preclude us from the next. This is a hope that is for everyone. It is not an exclusive offer to a select few. God does not show favouritism, Peter is recorded as saying in today's reading from Acts. That's really good to know, isn't it? Not one of us is barred from a relationship with Jesus and entry into heaven. When it comes to access and privilege in life, sometimes hurdles are created by things like race, ethnicity, class and caste, gender, money, sexual orientation, age, our qualifications, things we've done wrong in the past. Oh, the list is endless, but not in God's kingdom. The only thing required to secure the hope that is specified by Peter in verse 43, whoever believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is confirmation of the promise made at the very beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. To all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God. There are two standout requirements placed on us both by John and Peter. We are to believe and we are to receive. Do we believe then? Do we believe what we've just read in these few short verses of Acts? That Jesus is Lord of all. That Jesus the Son cannot be separated from God the Father and the Holy Spirit because they are one. That Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead on the third day, was then seen in his resurrected form, but not by everyone. that he left a legacy of mission for us to talk about our one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, who comes with power, who heals, judges and forgives. And that this is for everyone, including and perhaps especially those we think may not deserve such forgiveness and hope. Interestingly, when it comes to the question of belief, John's words in chapter 1, verse 12 come before accounts of the actual birth of Jesus, let alone his resurrection. Whereas Peter is addressing a gathering of people in Cornelius's house after the events of Easter. We understand from earlier in the chapter that the people listening were hungry to hear more about God as new or potential new believers. Cornelius has just had a miraculous encounter with God and he wants to know more. So it's at this point that Peter presents this mini sermon in the book of Acts, which is actually a really concise version of the gospel. In other words, he sums up Christianity in a nutshell, the good news of Jesus. That's what the gospel means. It's a really good passage to go to if you ever wonder what Christianity is about and what the central beliefs of the Christian faith are. That is those things that I've just listed when asking what we believe. Both the before and after events present us with a big challenge, though. How do we believe what we have not seen personally? Only a tiny number of people were eyewitnesses to Jesus dying on the cross. And then an even smaller number were witnesses to him appearing in his resurrected form, as we heard in our other reading. For most people, belief can only come with a giant step of faith. Believing in what we don't see. That is faith. That is the definition of faith. We do, though, have the testimony of others to help us with this, either Christians around us or accounts in the Bible. Also, like Cornelius, we need to have our eyes open and recognise God in the miracles around us, because there are miracles around us. It's Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And for me, this is where the second standout requirement comes in. Belief has to go hand in hand with receiving. We can believe in something, but not actually place our trust in it or give it any space in our lives. I believe in the existence of Bruce Springsteen, and I believe that he's a great musician. But he is not part of my life, other than I may listen to the odd song. I don't adopt his lifestyle. I don't follow his example in any way. See where I'm going with this? Belief in God can actually be quite superficial. Belief in God isn't, on its own, enough to secure our future promise and the blessings that are on offer now. As Peter highlights, we also have to receive him. We have to allow him to be present in every aspect of our life today. Superficial belief with no relationship is simply not enough. But remember, the invitation is always there, and the promise is for each of us.